Galatians chapter 5. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day. This is the day the Lord's made. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I'm expecting to receive from the Lord. How about you? Amen. So, Janice and I have been traveling a little bit. We've been going to different places, but there's no place greater than Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. International in Fort Worth. We love to come back here and be here. We're going to read Galatians 5, verse 1 in just a moment. But I'm going to tell you funny first. Is that okay? Is that all right?
Yes.
Dearest Daddy, I'm coming home to get married soon, so get out your checkbook, LOL. I'm in love with a boy who's far away from me. As you know, I'm in Australia and he lives in Scotland. We met on a dating website, became friends on Facebook, had long chats on WhatsApp. He proposed to me on Skype. And now we've had 2 months of relationship through Viber. My beloved and favorite dad, I need your blessing, good wishes, and a really big wedding. Lots of love and thanks. Your favorite daughter, Lily. My dear Lily, like wow, really cool, whatever. I suggest you two get married on Twitter. Have fun on Tango. Buy your kids on Amazon. And pay for it all through PayPal. And when you get fed up with this new husband, sell him on eBay. not really, but... That's awesome. Okay, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Everybody say, Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free. I said, Christ has made us free. Listen, staying free and keeping free, not being entangled again in the yoke of bondage, hinges on our understanding that Christ has already made us free. So no matter what, as Charlie said earlier, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what bondage we're in the middle of or dealing with or whatever, we need to understand He's already made us free.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
He made us free. And I want to talk to you today about the foundation of your freedom. Just how you can walk out freedom no matter what it is. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what struggles you've had. I don't care what issues you're dealing with. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does. God cares about it. But listen, what Jesus did was enough to free you. You don't have to. There's a lot of people in bondage today. Christians, they're in bondage. They're like Lazarus raised from the dead, but they're still in grave clothes. And God doesn't want you in bondage. He wants you walking out your full freedom. Look, when I get to heaven... Do you understand when you get to heaven that there are going to be some people that the Lord's going to be wiping away tears? There are going to be tears in heaven. He's going to wipe them away. Why would He have to wipe away tears? Things that we could have had we realized we're already free from. And we've got the victory over every... Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how long it's been. God's calling you out of bondage into freedom. He's calling you out of Egypt into the promised land. He's calling you out of the enemy's hold on you into a place of real freedom. And it doesn't matter if it's been a long time. Your suddenly can be today. Yeah? Praise God. So how was it that Jesus freed us? Well, He was born of a virgin. Why does that matter? Because He was free from the sin nature that you and I were born with. Yeah? We weren't just sinners because we sinned. We sinned because we were sinners. Okay, we had the sin nature. So Jesus was born as of a virgin, so he was free from the sin nature. He was free, and that sin nature passed down to everyone through Adam, but not to Jesus. And then he lived a sinless life. In other words, the way he did that is the way you and I do it today, because when we're born again, not old things passed away and all things became new. You became a brand new person on the inside. You don't have a sin nature. Look, you've only ever had one nature. You don't have two natures. You don't have a good dog and a bad dog on the inside of you. And if you just feed the good dog, you don't know. You don't know. You are a good dog. No, you don't have a bad dog. You've only got ever had one nature. Before you were born again, you had the nature of the devil. So it didn't matter how hard you tried, you couldn't live for God. Now, when you're born again, you've got you're a brand new person on the inside. So from that new nature, how many of you know that your new nature doesn't sin? No. Now, you've got a mind and will and emotions, and you can yield to sin if you want to, but that's not who you are. I've got good news for you. If you're born again, that's not who you are. You're a brand new person. You didn't just get forgiven. You got imputed. You got imputed his righteousness. He took on your sin nature so that you and I could take on his nature that was free from sin. He lived a sinless life from the fact that he has sinless nature. And he was executed on a cross on our behalf, completely innocent, taking the punishment and penalty of our sin on himself. Is that true? He was raised from the dead, demonstrating that he wiped out the sins held against us by overcoming sin's penalty. Sin's penalty was death. And that message, that's the message of the cross. And that free, by the power of the cross, you and I have been made free. He took not only our sins, but he died, which was sin's penalty. So he took our sins plus the penalty of our sins, so you and I can walk free. Now, why would we want to stay in bondage when he did all that for us? Are you hearing me? What he did for us, so you and I could walk in freedom. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Christ, the Lamb, causes people to prevail or overcome because it answers all of the enemy's accusations against us. Satan controls and defeats people through guilt and accusation. Well, you did this and you did that. Yeah, but you know what? Whenever the enemy's speaking to you and trying to bring doubt, maybe you did yield to sin in your flesh or whatever, but you just need, when he starts to remind you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. I said, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And remind him, if you want to go back to the past, let me take you back to the cross. My sins were nailed there, and Jesus took my sin nature and the penalty of sin, which was death, so I could have eternal life. And let me tell you about your future, buddy. It's not too bright. One angel's going to grab the nape of your neck, throw you in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm walking in the freedom that Jesus paid for me. I'm not just an old sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner saved by grace, but I now have his nature on the inside of me, and I'm free from all that. Yeah, but the enemy is the ultimate blackmailer. He'll come to you with all these things. Again, you just need to look. You need to remind him of what happened at the cross, and to remind him of his future. And after a while, you'll be talking to yourself. Amen. When you and I grasp that the precious blood of Christ has satisfied all the charges against us, has joined us to God, and has provided us with everything necessary to defeat the enemy, his bondage and control over our lives is over. Let me say that again. When you and I grasp that the precious blood of Christ has satisfied all the charges against us, has joined us to God, and has provided us with every necessary provision to defeat the enemy and to live an abundant life, man, his control and bond, the enemy's control and bondage over our lives is over. We have no freedom, and there is no overcoming the enemy apart from the blood. And when you understand that, then we need to stop focusing on ourselves and being so sin conscious and worry, I thought about this yesterday, or I had that bad thought yesterday, or I said this, or listen, guys, you need to start focusing on Jesus and what he did for you and the power of the blood and the power of the cross and instead of you. And you walk in greater victory. Are you hearing me? There was an awesome and terrible price paid for our freedom. First Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Let's read that together. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you were bought at a price. What price? The precious blood of Jesus. You were bought with a price. It was superior than silver and gold and any corruptible thing. You're bought with a price, man. Money could not even compare to the price that was paid for you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. His blood paid the ultimate price for my sins and redeemed me back to God. Because of the cross. Amen? Amen? The cross is the source of all other freedoms that we desire. Let me read you this article. It's pretty powerful. It's called The Sun. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous, and he died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm the soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart, and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." The young man held out this package. "I know this isn't much. I'm really not a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. He was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. And he thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." So the father hung the portrait over his mantle. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any other great works of art that he had collected. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited overseeing the great paintings, having an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. "We'll start the bidding with this picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture?" There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous paintings, all the valuable ones. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted, "Will somebody bid for this painting? Who'll start the bidding? $100, $200. Another voice from the back shouted out angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts and all the others. Get on with the real bids." But still the auctioneer continued, the sun, who'll take the sun? Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was a longtime gardener, the man, and his son. He said, "I'll give $10 for the painting." Being a poor man, that was all he could afford. "We have $10. Who'll give $20? "Give it to him for $10, said someone from the crowd. "We want to see the masters." The crowd became angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gavel, going once, going twice, sold for $10. A man sitting on the second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel, said, "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "What about the paintings?" "I'm sorry, when I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned, and whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. The man who took the sun gets everything. The man who takes the sun, the man or woman who takes the sun gets everything. The man or woman who takes the sun gets everything. The man or woman who takes the sun gets it all. The man or woman who takes the sun gets it all. The man or woman today who takes the sun gets it all. Did you hear me? The man or woman who takes the sun takes it all. The man or woman today who takes the sun inherits it all. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The cross is the source of all other freedoms we desire. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would have eternal life and everything that goes with eternal life. Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son? You take the Son and you get everything else. Hallelujah. That is awesome. I said, that's awesome. Praise God. That is awesome. Man, I think Romans 8:32, or 31, I'm thinking about, hold on, let me find it here. Man, that's powerful. I mean, we could go home and say we had church, haven't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You just think about that, man. But, verse 32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" Who will take the Son? You take the Son, you get the whole enchilada. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just I just want a rapture right now, I think. It's awesome. Who will take the son? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me read the message of the cross. Because, you know, here's the deal, guys. In that example, they didn't value the most valuable. Yeah? They didn't value that. And today, the church even doesn't value the message of the cross. You know what they value? they value technology and lights and smoke machines and skinny jeans. Now can you imagine me in skinny jeans? But that's what they value and assign power and authority and is technology and lights and smoke machines, fog machines, and skinny jeans. But that's a palatable message and method. But I tell you, the message of the cross, it's bloody and messy and it's not palatable, and it's not, you know, doesn't go well with our flesh. 1 Corinthians 1, Verse 18, I'll just read a few verses. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Verse 20. Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message. What message? The message of the cross. What Jesus did for us. The message that the Son paid the price so you and I could receive all the benefits that the world's trying to give us through their wisdom and through their glory and everything. And it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. Everybody say the power of God. And the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Our primary message, guys, is bloody and messy and painful and not pretty, comfortable, neat, orderly. It doesn't always have the lights and the fog machines and the skinny jeans. Of course, you put a little tattoo and an earring on it too, and it looks more palatable. Are you hearing me? Listen, but to the world and religious crowd, it's foolish. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we've got to preach. We've got to stay on message and preach the cross. We've got to stay on message. We've got one message. It's the power of the cross. Are you hearing me? Well, we don't have one message. And it's the hub. And all the other things that we could preach from that are spokes on the hub. But without the cross, we don't have any power. But with the cross, we've got all the power of God. We've got all the wisdom of God. We've got everything we need. If we realize, man, the power of the cross, it belongs to us. And a babe in Christ can preach the power of the cross and see someone raised from the dead or see somebody healed. And results can happen that will far exceed whatever AA can do or NA and thank God for anything that anybody does with the wisdom of the world that helps people. But all that is many times is a band-aid, a temporary thing that they still have to admit throughout their lives. I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. But how many of you know you were that, but you're not anymore? The cross frees you from that. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And we got to get back to the simple message. What Jesus did, He did for all. And what He did is enough. It's enough power to set anybody free, to set a Charlie Pryor free on June 7th, 1985, to set him free. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that day. Amen. But, you know, the power was there to free him earlier. He heard the gospel through Lori. He heard the gospel through R.W. Shambach. He heard the gospel. And when he heard the gospel, he heard the power of God. The power of God in one moment set that man free. And guys, look, there are people out there. I don't care what religion they are. They can be atheists. They can be Islam. They can be Buddhist. They can be or atheists. It doesn't matter. What they need, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it comes through this message. And it'll set them free. Praise God. You and I have the power of God. It's at our disposal. We've got a wonderful message. Do you agree? And it's the Son, man. It's the Son. You get the Son, you get it all. I said, you get it all. You get the whole package. Thank you, Jesus. Now, three keys real quickly from this passage here that will help us to walk in the freedom that Christ paid for. Three keys that will help us that we can see here from this passage in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Three keys that will help us walk in the freedom that Christ paid for. How many of you want to walk in that freedom? I mean, He made us free, but I want to walk in that freedom. I don't want to just, you know, I want to walk. I want to experience it. How about you? Yes. Number one, the power of God is manifested through the message of the cross. I think you got an old deal up there. But anyway, it looked good anyway, whatever that point was. But number one, you could just write it down, the power of God, everybody say the power of God, is manifested through the message of the cross. Okay, look at verse 18. Verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the what? The power of God. The power here is dunamis. It's a miraculous ability, miracle power. It's what happened to Charlie 31 years ago. Just 31 years and a month ago. Praise God. It's a miraculous power ability, the power of the cross. God attaches His power, he attaches miraculous power to the message of the cross. Not the fog machines, you know, latest technology and lights and skinny jeans. He doesn't attach the power of God to image or personality. He attaches it to the right message, the power of the cross. The cross has the power of God to set you free. The miraculous power of God comes by you and I preaching the right message. What is that? Jesus paid the price, man. He paid the penalty to set us free. So if He paid the penalty and the prison door is open, why do I want to stay in prison? This is real simple. I know this is simple. I understand. But you know, I'm a simple guy. A lot of people take the simple and make it complex. I just want to take the simple and keep it simple. Hey man, this is simple. It's just so simple. Jesus paid the price to free me, and the power here is the word dunamis. It's the miraculous ability, miracle power, the power of God that sets people free from sin, bondage, sickness, disease, and poverty is available every time we preach the message of the cross. Now, we're going to prove that because if you come tonight, we're going to have a healing service tonight. But the power of the cross is going to set you free from every sickness and every disease and every pain in your body. The power of the cross. Are you hearing me? How do I know that? Because we're going to preach the cross and what Jesus did. And then you walking in your authority in that. If we'll understand what He did and we walk in the authority of that, then your sick days and your days of pain are over. You don't have to be filled with pain. God will set you free. I mean, He's already paid the price. He wants you and I free. Yeah, the power of God. Is that what it says here? Look at it again, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Man, it's been diluted, but it's the power of God. People try to dilute it and say all other kinds of things about it and try to make it something else. But look, people will pay attention to what we have to say when we release the power of God. And when you preach and teach with authority, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Yeah? Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. This is all in the same context here. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is all in the same context. The power of God is wrapped up and demonstrated by when we and attached to the right message that we preach, that Jesus and Him crucified paid the price so you can walk free.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to stay sick, my brother and sister. You don't have to stay in pain. God wants you free. You come tonight and you're going to walk in freedom. Because we're going to preach this message, and God's going to confirm. He'll confirm this message. He doesn't attach the power of God to human reasoning and men's persuasion and other things and skinny jeans and tattoos and whatever looks cool today. You know, now the cool thing is these skin tight. What are they called? Leggings. They're skin tight leggings now. You've got to have those to get on the stage. And skinny jeans. He doesn't attach His power to your clothing. I mean, wear some, please, but you know, he doesn't attach. His power's attached to the cross. If you want to see the power demonstrated, preach the cross. And what Jesus did, that's what He said. I didn't say it. This is what He said. I'm just agreeing with what He says. The message of the cross, the story of the great exchange, how He took my sin, my sickness, and poverty for me, that was the center of Paul's message. It's got to be the center of ours. If we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. It's not rocket science, guys. This is what happened. And we tell people what happened, and it sets them free. The power to set them free comes within the context of you and I telling them what Jesus did for them. So you don't, everything He did for us, you don't have to stay in bondage to anymore. Everything He paid the price to free us from, I am not going to stay in prison to that anymore. Yeah? Then number two, God has chosen to save those who believe the message of the cross. Real simple. He's chosen to save those who believe the message of the cross. Look, it's not going to happen just because you preach it. People have to believe it. Okay? Why don't everybody receive? Why is it that not everybody's saved? Well, they either haven't heard or they heard and they didn't believe. Why is it? Not everyone is healed because they either didn't hear that Jesus paid the price for them and took stripes on His back, or they heard and didn't believe. They believed something more. They believed because they've been in pain a long time that they just have to kind of put up with this. No, you don't. No, you don't. You will have whatever you put up with. My question to you is, what are you submitting to? You submitting to that pain in your body? Are you valuing the cross greater than the pain in your body? You got to value the cross greater than whatever your experience is. You value the cross greater than the pain that you've been in. You value the cross greater than whatever it is that you, whatever it is the enemy's tried to do in your life. Look, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Where did that pain come from? Who's the author of sickness and disease? Are you telling, who's the author of sickness and disease and pain? The enemy. How do we know that? When he's out of the scene, you're in heaven, there's no pain, there's no more pain. Adam and Eve in the garden, there was no pain, no sickness, right? Okay, until the enemy came on the scene, they yielded to that, and then that's when pain, sickness, and disease, when the curse came on. When we go to heaven, there's no more pain there, right? So the power, who authors sickness and disease? The enemy. That's the power of the enemy. Are you kidding me? The power of the enemy is not greater than the power of the cross. Than the power of what Jesus did. So, you know, look, I've experienced pain. I've experienced sickness and things that came against me, but I'm not submitting to it because there's a greater power than that. And it's the power of the cross. Are you hearing me? Good preaching, Pastor Greg. But look, you don't get saved from that pain, from that sickness, from that disease, that bondage until you believe that the cross is greater than that. That's part of your problem. That's why you keep going back, you know, besides the fact that you went to a church and they preached on backsliding. They preached on it, so you just did it. Why, look, my wife and I were I was saved in 1973 in a Methodist church on the word I heard in a Baptist church. But I was lost as a goose in a hailstorm spiritually because I wasn't taught the word for 3 years. When I got filled with the Spirit in 1976, that's 40 years ago now, we have never looked back. I said, we've never looked back. There's no such thing as in my vocabulary as backsliding. Why? What do I have to go back to? Are you kidding me? Why in the world would I want to go back to all that bondage and all that pain and all that misery and all that doubt and all that confusion and all that weirdness? I'm not going back. Man, I'm going forward. Yeah? But since we heard that, man, I'm not going back. But why is it that, you know, people... You know, why is it that people don't, they value and submit to what they're experiencing more than what Jesus did for them? It's unbelief. You're believing something more than the Word. But you don't have to. Look, today can be your coming out day. Because the power of the cross, God will get the power of the cross to you for anybody who believes it. But you got to believe that's more powerful than whatever you've experienced. Whatever your past generations' habits have been. Well, my daddy was that way, my grandma was that way, my great-grandma was that way, and I guess that's the way I got to be. No, you don't. I said, no, you don't. You can come out today. Today's your coming out day. That word saved is the word sozo. It means to save, to heal, preserve, rescue, and deliver. The world, their worldly wisdom, cannot know God and cannot save people from their desperate situations. But you and I, through the foolishness of preaching and preaching the message of the cross, people will be saved, healed, preserved, rescued, and delivered. Yeah? Today. Each of us has, look, it says through the foolishness of preaching, each of us have an element of foolishness on us. I mean, people look at us and think, well, you know, man, you're not an educated person, or you don't have, who do you know, or look, it doesn't matter about what I know and my education. It matters about who I know. And I'm not preaching me anyway. Why in the world do you want to preach you? I'm not preaching me. I'm preaching him and him in me. And if I preach him and him in me and what he did for me, And you know what happens? There are going to be people start believing, and they're going to hatch off and get healed. They're going to get delivered. They're going to get rescued. They're going to get saved. They're going to be set free. Anybody, you just believe, guys. But you know, I can't control whether someone believes or someone doesn't, but I'm going to keep preaching it. And I'm going to keep teaching it. Amen? Then number three, the message of the cross, Christ crucified, is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. These two are both centered. Verse 24, that's what verse 24 says. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now here's the two problems with receiving the power of God and the wisdom of God, is because you got Jews who are the Pharisees and Greeks who are the philosophers. Okay, the thing that keeps people from receiving the power of God and the wisdom of God is either religion, who religion tries to get you to be gooder to receive from God. It's focused, keeps its focus on you. If you do this and 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 this, and then God will do this and this and this. No, God did this 2,000 years ago, so now we can do this and this and this and this. Yeah? But the Jews or Pharisees tried to get you focused on, well, yeah, you could be healed if you did this and 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 this. And it's never enough. Now, then you got the Greeks who are the philosophers. You either got the Jews who are Pharisees and keep you in religion and keep you in a works mentality, or you got the Greeks who are philosophers, okay? And they're going to explain away. They're going to get you lean into your own understanding, okay? So the thing that keeps you from the power of God and the wisdom of God, all the benefits of the cross, is the little philosopher in you, or the little Pharisee in you. And I'm not in your spirit, but in your soul. And it's going to try to get you focused on you doing everything right, dotting every I, crossing every T, or it's going to get you to try to figure it out with your little pea brain. Look, you need to roast the peanut. Your pea brain cannot comprehend the power of the cross totally. You have to believe it. And if you're leaning to this, you know, that's going to hinder you receiving. Or if you lean to you try and your works and your performance. Now, I just said a lot for you teachers. You could just take that and you could preach that for a long time, just about either the Pharisee or the philosopher. But that keeps you from the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look, guys, some of you need the power of God. Some of you need the wisdom of God. But all of that's available at the cross. It's not available by you performing better, you being gooder, you doing better, you crossing every I and dotting every T. Nor does it come by you trying to wrap your little pea brain around everything and trying to figure it out. You know, it comes by what Jesus did. And you believe that. I said, if you believe that, there is no greater message. How powerful is this message? I said, how powerful is this message? It is the source of everything. Are you hearing me? It's the source of our freedom. Now, I just want to close with this. Isaiah 53. Look at that with me. Isaiah 53. There is no greater message. Look, anything else we preach has got to come back to the hub. This is the hub message. You know, if there was no cross, we don't have healing. We don't have there's no new creation realities. We don't have righteousness. We don't have peace with God. We don't have prosperity. We don't see everything else we preach comes from the hub. Without the cross, you don't have all these other things. But with the cross, you've got it all. With the cross, you've got it all. Now here it is. Here's the picture. Isaiah 53, verse 4, and we'll read a few verses. Here's the picture of the atonement. It's a picture of the message of the cross. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we just did esteem Him stricken. It's on the screen. Let's read it together. We're going to read several verses together. Is that all right? Let's read it. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, He was stricken. Stop there a second. For the transgressions of my people, He was stricken. Listen, guys, He was stricken so that you and I could be free from the guilt and the shame and the penalty of transgressions. Go on to the next verse. And they made His grave with the wicked, but with the rich at His death, because He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Two more verses. He shall see the labor of His soul and be satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Stop right there. That means you and I. He'll justify many. Say, that means me. Let's go on and read. For He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide Him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bore the sin of many. How many of you were one of those? And made intercession for the transgressors. He is still interceding today at the right hand of the Father for you and I. He paid a great and awful price to give us every one of these benefits, to make us, to justify us, to pay for our sins, to justify us, to give us peace with God, which includes prosperity, to deliver us from iniquity patterns, from all pain and all sickness and all disease. He did all that, Ashley, for us. He did that, Kelly, for us. It's a message of the cross, guys. He did it on our behalf. And then He imputed to whoever would believe, whoever would just simply believe what He did. We receive it, guys. We receive it. The power of God and the wisdom of God that is here to set you free, it comes by just believing that message. He'll save whoever will. The Son. Who will take the Son? The Son. Who will take the Son? The Son. My Son. Who will take my Son? With Him, you get it all. You get freedom. You get healing. You get prosperity. You get provision. You get peace of mind. You get deliverance. You get what Charlie got that day and more. Charlie didn't even know that day that it included prosperity and other things. He just got free from that. But look, guys, it's the whole enchilada. My son. Who today will take my son? If you'll take his son and the price he paid for you, you walk free from jail. You walk free from any penalty. You walk free from any accusations, guilt, shame, all of that, death, all of that. You walk free today. You today. I'm talking to you. If the Spirit of God's speaking to you in any measure today, any area of freedom you haven't yet received, you know, I just want to encourage you. This is a great day of freedom. I'm going to encourage you to value the cross today above what you've experienced. You know, maybe you've experienced a measure of freedom, but it's the Son. You take the Son and you get it all. Amen. You take the Son, you get it all. Now, I know Charlie's already given an altar call, but if you're here today and you've never really taken the Son like that, you know you've taken Him in part, but you haven't taken Him in whole, and you haven't walked in that freedom, and you want to do that today, okay? If you've never been born again and never really been sincere about your relationship with God, then I want to pray for you. If that's you, and I'm not going to have you come forward right now. I just want to ask if that's you. You want to take the Son for the first time. I see that hand. Are there others of you along with this one? Anyone else? All right. Maybe you've taken the Son. You're born again, but you just see. You know what? You've been in prison in some area, and you see the power of the cross. The power of the cross is a power to save you, rescue you, deliver you, save you. You're taking the Son today, and you're taking the whole enchilada. You're taking it all. Every part of your inheritance, you're taking today. You're taking the Son, but you're taking everything else that He has that the cross has provided. And God's speaking to you about this today. Just stand up. I want to agree with you along with this one that's standing back there. Just stand up. You're taking the Son. Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son? And I don't mean you're not born again. You're born again, but you haven't taken you haven't eaten the whole enchilada. You haven't taken, but it could be healing. It could be peace of mind. It could be prosperity. It could be just deliverance from a bad habit. Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son today? Who will take Him? And take Him as He is, and take the full freedom and message of the cross. Who will take Him? Just stand up. I'm going to agree with you. Who will take the Son? Who will take the Son? Who takes the Son today? Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing because some people are believing on the power of the cross, and the power of the cross is not going to disappoint you today. In Jesus' name. For those that are around, these that are standing, why don't you kind of, let's touch them, if you can, let's lay hands on them. Just say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the power of the cross. The cross is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I take the Son today, and I take the freedom that comes with Him from sickness and disease, from oppression in my mind, pain in my body, deliverance from bad habits, from all kinds of iniquity patterns, all sickness and disease, and all shame and guilt. I receive freedom from that today. In the name of Jesus, I apply the power of the cross to whatever I'm dealing with. In Jesus' name, the cross, the cross, the cross, and the power of the blood is greater. In Jesus' name, I take the Son, and with the Son, I receive it all. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now I pronounce over you freedom. I speak over you freedom. I speak over you deliverance. I speak over you healing. I speak freedom from oppression and depression. Depression is going now in the name of Jesus. All kinds of pain is leaving your body. Just stay standing for a moment. All kinds of oppression, stuff that you've been in bondage to, right now we're breaking that off of you by the power of the cross. The thoughts of feelings of shame and fear and dread they're broken off of you today in the name of Jesus. The power of the blood and the power of the cross sets you free from pain, from iniquity patterns, from all those bad habits. Jesus makes you free today. You've taken me, says the Lord. You've taken me. You've received me. And with me comes everything else you need. I release to you now everything I died to provide you. I release to you. I release to you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I loved you. And I saw you over 2,000 years ago. I saw you on the cross. And looking forward through the annals of time, seeing you here today kept me on the cross. And I died for your freedom. And I speak freedom to you. I speak freedom to you, healing to you, health to you, deliverance to you. In Jesus' name. Could we sing that, Johnny, oh, the blood? Let's sing with him.
Oh, the blood of